Jiaosan, you should drop that beat to start the show before I lift up my fupa and show you how I really feel.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Romantic Truth Podcast. Please be advised that content of this show is for a mature audience 18 years and older due to language and subject matter. Now, without further ado, here is your host, Jiaosan.
Hi everyone, Jiaosan with you here, Romantic Truth in Las Vegas. I hope everybody's doing well and keeping it real. Yes, today's been an interesting day, hasn't it? Or will I say today will be an interesting day? Yesterday they had a guy at the Trump trial, I guess, that decided to set himself on fire. Unfortunately, I hope he's doing well, or as best as he can. And some people said that he was still smoldering when they put him in an ambulance, but they got to realize there's no smoking in an ambulance. Smoke-free zone. So I really wish the best for him. Anyway, folks, we have a show today dealing with emails that you've sent in and messages you have left. So without further ado, let's get started. Sally from Denver, Colorado says the following. I enjoy your show. There's some things that are kind of questionable, but for the most part, I like it. 3 months I've been listening to you, and today I made a final decision based on your show on yesterday. You talked about elder daughter syndrome. This is something that I've been dealing with for a very long time. I have two siblings that I've had to look out for all of my life, even after they married and had families. Our parents are now gone. We just buried our father not too long ago, and therefore, I feel as though my duties are complete. At this point in life, they should be able to map out their own destiny. I'm 40 years old. My brother's 35, and my other sister's 29. So I don't see why we should have any difficulty going forward. They've all had a clean slate now. The money's been divided that was left over from my parents. The home will be sold and those assets will be divided. For the first time, I actually feel free enough where I can start dating again. I've been divorced now for 7 years. And believe me, those have been 7 years of hell. Not only dealing with an ex-husband, but also dealing with the drama with my siblings. I don't want to get into too many details about them in particular, but I will tell you this much. It did cost me my marriage. I want to start over again, and I realize now that my duties have been completed. I had to play that role while my parents were alive. I did everything. Mom came home, did absolutely nothing but order me around. So I never had the opportunity to be a kid, to be a child, to be dated, to be loved. The only reason why I married my husband was in some way to figure though I would never have to deal with the responsibilities of other family members again. Boy, was I wrong. Things intensified from that moment forward. Do you have any words of encouragement or any guidance as to what I should do? Starting out once again, dating. Sally, Denver, Colorado. Yes, Sally, take your time. You're not under any pressure. This is your time. There's no need to bristle up or worry. Those days are over with. You need to focus more on yourself now. You're going to become a little greedy, something you haven't done in a while because you've been sharing. You've been always at the helm of the relationships of your siblings. And it's about time for you to live for yourself. So I can't blame you. You should. And understand that when you went into your marriage, the environment is totally different now. so we'll have to adjust. It'll take some time, so don't really beat yourself up. You're going to kiss some frogs along the way, but that's to be expected. And don't be intimidated by the online dating thing. It's not as bad as it seems. Believe you me, meeting someone in person for the first time under conventional dating is a lot more intimidating. All right, let's see what we have here. Bill. And Bill is out of Athens, Georgia. My wife hates your guts. You've told the truth on a lot of things, and it has started an interesting conversation between she and I. She is not accountable, and I can't say that she does have integrity. It's at a point now where I'm like her keeper. I don't like this. We've had some interesting conversations about spending lately. I went to buy lunch the other day, and I found out upon looking at the balance that money has been moved out of the account. This is nothing new, but I thought we had resolved this a long time ago when we went to therapy about this. Apparently, she's back to her old ways. 10 years of this shit, I don't know. I'm seriously contemplating divorce. Bill, Athens, Georgia. Well, Bill, you guys have gone through counseling. You see that it failed. And she's still doing the same behavior. You're tired of babysitting. Just like the other lady from Denver, Sally, who started babysitting her siblings. It can be very exhausting, and it could be more work than it's worth. So, you have to ask yourself that one question. Is it worth it? Only you can answer that question, sir. And I'm sure if you come up with an answer that's satisfactory, you'll be more than pleased that you did. But as I see it, I don't think you're a happy camper. And the only way this is going to be addressed or fixed will be by your efforts in being firm and letting her know you have very few tolerance cells left in your body before you have to look at divorce. I know you're probably already thinking about it, but you gotta ask yourself, how many times have I given her second, third, fourth chances? But it's only up to you to make the decision. You gotta consider your kids, your asset distribution, all those things. And also how you would feel. Because some people don't feel so great after divorces. I know I didn't. So, these are things you will have to look at. Maybe instead of just seeing a regular family counselor, you might want to see someone that specializes in fiduciary abuse. A counselor that deals with financial issues. They're out there. Because until you do that, and you can put in all the safeguards you want, the difficulty you will have is trying to manage that situation. We don't like to micromanage. And it could be rather taxing. A headache, to say the least. Let's go on here. Geneva writes the following, and Geneva's out of St. Louis, Missouri. Hey you, we've had a lot of rain. Things have been going okay so far. The weather is so tricky. I wonder what the weather's like there in Vegas. Well, one thing that I would like to share with you is a decision I have to make soon. I went on a dating site and three men are interested in me. I've gone out with all three and they all rated about the same. Nice guys, good jobs, good careers. very pleasant conversation. And I really can't put one over the other. How would I solve this mess? 39 years old, no kids, great career, and confused, LOL. Well, my dear, what you have to look at is, you've already looked at what everyone has, right? All of these guys, what they have, the qualities, hopefully. Now what you need to look at is on the negative side. What is it that only one of them have that the other one doesn't? Doesn't necessarily mean you have to burn the bridges. But here's the thing, you know this is not going to last for long where these guys are going to have interest in you. You could go and choose one and then let the other two go by the wayside, but you have FOMO. You have a fear of missing out. You want to get it right the first time, and you don't want to pick the wrong guy and let the other two get away. But how do you know you'll be letting two get away? You don't if you pick one, right? So, this is where you're going to have to really use your preferences. Stiff competition, true enough. But only you can make that choice. You got to look at what they have and what they don't have. Not necessarily materialistic, but someone you can get along with. So, you'll probably have to look more so than the material things and the aesthetics, you have to look more when it comes to what they have to offer, character, behavior, situation, their drive, their passion, compatibility, what things bring you together, what things will put a wedge in between the two of you. These are only things you can answer. And so, you have a choice, three of them, but you have to choose wisely. You have three, I'll put it this way. You have three selections and one choice. It's like a multiple, you know, like a multiple selection process like they do on the drop-down boxes on the computer. But you can only choose one. Consider those things first. I would look as far as background, family history, has there been any domestic violence? Has anyone been locked up for anything? You have to go on that level in order to make an informed decision. But kudos to you. We're taking a time out instead of trying to play the field with all three. All right, let's see what we have here. Craig. Now, folks, Craig wrote me a 10-page email. And Craig, let me tell you something, sir. Not to embarrass you, but I do have to tell you the truth. English whooped your ass in this email. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to tell the people the gist of it. But anyway, I thank you, Craig, and I wrote you back. And I didn't, of course, mean to come at you in any kind of way, but you might want to use Grammarly or spell checker. I know you were writing it, and you were probably upset when you wrote it. But what has happened, folks, Craig has gotten to a situation where he has four baby mamas. They rented a house together, all four women and Craig's seven children live in this dwelling. Now, when it was leased, to him, one of the baby's mothers, and two of her children. Landlords found out And he's like, we ain't doing this. Well, the other thing is, Craig is what is called marginally employed. He doesn't really have skill sets where he can go on a job and make the kind of money that it would take to support a family this size, or families of this size. So the women have had to make do. They work. Some of them get, you know, public assistance in some capacity. And Craig is 39 years old. He brought in a 23-year-old young lady. And of course, this created an uproar in the household. So much so that the women threatened her. So what Craig did, he asked his mom and dad, and his father's, not in the best of health, if she could stay with them. They agreed. So she's helping take care of Craig's father with her mother, with his mother. And admirable thing that she's doing. Meanwhile, they have to move. Craig's gonna go back home to mom with his new love. And what he wrote me about was he was concerned about the life choices he made. And he was also concerned about whether or not he will be able to right himself in life. Meaning he has seven kids, four baby mamas. So he wanted to know what I would do if I was in his situation. Now, Craig, I think the reason why you're looking at probably going back to your parents' home, you want to revert back to being that child that made a mistake, and the family's going to fix it. Mommy is going to fix it. I'm just speculating now. But here's the thing I would tell you. If this is the case, you're doing yourself a disservice, because judging on your past behavior, four times, you've impregnated four women, was to make you think this fifth woman is going to hang around, especially as young as she is. You didn't mention if she had any kids in the email, so I'm assuming she doesn't. What I would do if I were you is prepare for this young lady to probably leave you at some point, because she's going to get tired of assisting and waiting. Your financial resources are going to be in comfort for a very long time, because these women more than likely are going to file child support on you. If I were in your shoes, the last thing I would do is try to work out some non-court authorized situation. And here's why I say this in particular. Because if you don't have all the documentation on the money you've given those women or giving those women every month, the courts are going to look at you as if you hadn't paid anything. I know you thought it was a good idea to consolidate all your baby mamas in one location with the children. You know that shit's not going to fly long. Your landlord's found out. Now you guys have to disperse. Now, I don't know how old your children are, but there are social programs that these women could probably qualify for. AFDC. Housing. But what I will tell you is, if I were in your shoes, as you've asked, I would get my ass to working on getting some skill sets that were very marketable, and probably look at getting two jobs, maybe three. That child support is going to be no joke. Even if they hit you at $200 per child, think about it. That's $1,400 a month on the low end. It could hit you as much as $2,800 a month. And here's the thing you're going to have to also realize. Being that all those kids are yours, you're going to have to spend some time with them. Since these women have cohabitated before, they may keep in touch. So if you lie to one, you won't be able to lie to the other one. Consider yourself having built a consensus to keep an eye on you. See, in most relationships, you only have one woman keeping an eye on you. You have five. Something to think about. Well, by the way, if I were you, I'd thank my folks for letting me back home, because I know a lot of parents, especially at your age, with those many kids and baby mamas. Those many. I love when English whoops my ass every once in a while. But anyway, that's what you're dealing with, sir. And if I were you, skill sets, multiple jobs, and take out a block of time with those kids. Go through the court system, I would do. So you can get all of that out of the way so you know exactly how much you'll be paying in child support. And just make sure your payments are made. And for goodness sake, do not get this 23-year-old young lady pregnant. You can't afford it, dude. As far as what's doing this, you might want to take a look at getting with a social worker. They may get you to a therapist about your compulsion to have children that you can't support. See, this is the other side of the pro-life argument. When these kids get here and the man that helped create them is not financially prepared. It's kind of amazing. Well, I wish you the best, sir. All right. Let's see here. Brian writes the following, and he's out of Mesa, Arizona. Please, 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 please help me. My wife has had an affair. She told me all the details. It took me a while to get it out of her. The guy that she had an affair with doesn't have a job. He's homeless. And she told me that she's madly in love with him. I work in construction. I have a very good job. We have a very nice home. We live in a nice community here in Mesa. Please tell me, what the fuck would she want with a guy like that? Yeah, you got me on that one, sir. But here's the thing I'm going to tell you. More than likely, it's something very simple and fundamental. It's not complicated, and it's not related to resources. When was the last time you listened to her? When was the last time you told her you love her? When was the last time you guys spent quality time together? You might want to ask if she feels abandoned. You notice one thing about women when it comes down to them cheating? Usually they will admit that they've cheated under two circumstances. If they're afraid of losing everything, or if they're genuinely in love and don't give a damn. And I think she's the latter in this. Because see, the affair is a symptom. I would be more concerned about her saying she loves him more so than sleeping with him. Because this is much deeper. Way deeper. And it's probably somewhere you can't touch her emotionally. So, you could try counseling on this one. I just have a sneaking suspicion that she's already made her decision. And she's already weighed the odds on what she's going to lose and what she'll gain. I would go to a family counselor if I were the two of you, to see if there's any redress for it. I kind of doubt it though, because if she came out and told you she loves him, therapy can't fix that. So, I don't know what's going on between the two of you, but I don't believe it's all her either. Maybe you might want to self-examine to see whether or not you're a little too judgmental or a little too centric or someone that maybe has the first, last, and third say in any conversation with her. You might want to find out why. Because see, a lot of men make this mistake. They get with a woman and they think because they're providing things for her, that's enough, that's sufficient. You know, when I talk about inadequacies, you may not be emotionally fulfilling for her. Yes, you buy her nice things. And some women will just hang around in a marriage just to collect these wonderful things from you. But loving you, it may not be in the cards for them. They may not see themselves loving you ever. We'll talk more in just a moment.
You have new mail.
Maybe I shouldn't leave this message, but what the hell? I would be considered strange to most men. I'm a woman willing to try anal sex. Even during my marriage of 21 years, I was afraid to ask my husband because he believed it was only for gay men. Since my divorce, I've dated men, but never revealed my deep, dirty desire. I have only used toys for that pleasure. However, I'm too embarrassed to share this craving with a man. He might think that I'm a freak. I've listened to your show long enough to take your opinion seriously. Now, with that said, is there a way to share this desire with a man without him thinking less of me? I didn't have my first orgasm until using my toy for the first time with another woman for a short time. I'm ashamed of this because vaginal sex does very little to get me there. I absolutely refuse to get into another marriage or relationship lying to my partner about being satisfied. So, this is my issue. And yes, you may use this message in your show.
Now, ma'am, let's look at a few things here. First of all, you called it your dirty secret. Why is it dirty? No pun intended. The other thing is, you went years not being satisfied, not having an orgasm. But what you've done, you suppressed all of your feelings and desires for a person who was mightily happy with what they were doing. Now, you're partially at fault at this. For one thing, you weren't honest with your partner. You didn't reveal what stimulated you. And see, that insecurity that you had about what you would like done, that's what dictated how you were going to function when it came down to dealing with the relationship. You had to get a toy later on. You tried it with a woman, but you were too embarrassed to try it with a man because you think that you'll be associated with something that's not so positive. But here's what you have to look at, ma'am. You're framing it in the context that I don't like myself. That is a part of you. And if the only way you can orgasm is anally, you need to be honest with the partner and tell them the truth before you go in. Instead of doing like a lot of people do, they ignore, they repress, they deny, they deflect. But you're doing this, denying yourself to protect an insecurity that doesn't give a damn about you. That insecurity doesn't care whether or not you butt-fucked or not. Now, I looked on Statista. 65% of women that have been married has had some form of anal penetration. And I think it was something like 30% of married women have it as a norm in their sexual portfolio. Now, what you will need to do is reevaluate your standards. Because it should be at a certain level where this is acceptable to the person that you would be with, as opposed to trying to hide and conceal it. You know, it's like one of the ladies that wrote in not too long ago. She's, I think, was in her 60s. And she's always wanted to be with another woman. Well, she's a married woman, grandmother. She's had her children, they're grown. And so, as soon as the last kid got out of the house, she divorced her husband and she took on a lesbian relationship. And of course, the family was shocked. Everybody was appalled. Everybody was upset. And she didn't know that she was going to lose visitation to her grandchildren. But she looked at it. She had to make a decision. And the decision wasn't popular, but she had to be happy. Because after all, she looked at it from the standpoint, I gave them everything I wanted to give them and everything they wanted. Now it's my turn. And of course, they're viewed as being selfish. You will find this with every kind of boutique relationship, something that's out of the ordinary, whether the person's of a different gender, same gender, different race, ethnicity, background, you will find this. It doesn't change. Dynamic's still the same. You're going to have people that are going to really judge you on the decision you made to be with whomever you're with. But now, here's the other thing, ma'am. You're going to have to build up your confidence in yourself, in your desires. Because, okay, let's look at one thing here that's happened. Throughout your marriage, throughout those years, you've repressed those sentiments, those feelings. How did that work for you over those years? It didn't, because you still have them now. That's a part of you, ma'am. Something you're going to have to face. Something that will make you happy. You got to ask yourself, Why am I shortchanging myself? For what reason? You're putting yourself in an awkward situation that you don't need to be in. There's no need to do it. You have so many things in your favor. You're still young enough to enjoy your life. So you might want to just find someone that you can enjoy it with. Now you can drop your number. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, what you can do, take your time. It's going to be kind of rare to find somebody that would openly agree. But you'll be surprised how much men will go for that. And here's another thing, guys. She's not alone. There are a lot of women that like that. And so you'll probably be asked that question by the woman at some point if she's into that. Please understand that too. So, the one thing that I will also tell you, ma'am, is this. If you go on in life living your lives by other people's guidelines and parameters, you're not living life at all. You're living what they think you should have, what they think you should do. And you're embarrassed by something that many women engage in on a regular basis. So you're not weird. And here's the thing too that you have to realize. Your husband that was coming up with that parallel about the homophobic remark, I'm sure he has other views on things that you don't agree with. Or your ex-husband, excuse me. So there was a reason why you divorced him. And I'm sure it wasn't over anal sex. There were other things. You couldn't be yourself. That's the reason why you'd have happiness. And you don't have to put up with the BS to get it. The only thing you have to do is be more confident in what you're looking for, what you need in your life. And it's a good time to reassess the things you need. Because you're a different woman from when you were married. And you incorporate those needs in there without being ashamed of them. It only makes sense to do so. Because if you don't, who's going to be the person that's really hurting and yearning? You. No one else. So, you will probably have to search for what you are looking for. And if the guy happens to come in a nice package for you, that's an added bonus. But you realize that that is a deal breaker now. That is a must have. And own it. Because after all, look, your desire does not define you. It's designed to assist you towards your track of happiness. That's all it's supposed to do. Nothing more, nothing less. Because we're only here for a short period of time. So we might as well enjoy whatever endeavors we care to. All right, let's see Josie's email. She writes the following. I'm just kind of curious. You're giving all this advice. Why are you still single? Why haven't you found someone? This is the only skepticism I have about you and your show. I would rather listen to someone who's married giving me advice on relationships. Josie, Kansas City, Kansas. Josie, here's what I'll tell you, my dear. If I wanted a warm body next to me, hell, I could have Jillian. I could have any of my exes if I wanted that. The ones that are still single, of course. But we had our differences and our reasons for breaking up. I hold them to that standard because they all left me. I didn't leave any of them. At least with the group of women that come on the show that I had dated. There's about six of them. Now, here's the thing. The woman I'm looking for, she's not just any woman. I know specifically the type of person I'm looking for. She doesn't have to be a debutante. She doesn't have to be a beauty queen. But she will have to have the characteristics of the individual I'm looking for. Internal characteristics. That's what's important and vital to me. I've already had the size zeros, the size fours. I've always had these beautiful women in my past. Big deal. Why would I have someone on my arm just to benefit everybody and say, oh, look, what a nice couple. I'd rather have someone on my arm that I trust, that I love, and that I've chosen after thorough vetting. You can get arm candy all day long. Why don't you ask some of the people that write into the show? Some of them have been married, thought they had everything buttoned down. But I thank you for listening, dear. And just remember one thing. When you make that choice in your partner, and if things work out, wonderful. But if they don't, you may have to reassess a few things, wouldn't you? And please don't tell me that you would be one of those people that would say, oh no, it's going to work. I'm going to make it work. It takes two people to make a relationship work. Unless you want to wear yourself out and give 80% and that person gives 20. Go right ahead. As they used to say with W.C. Fields, a sucker's born every day. I wish you the best, my dear. But that's the reason why, and I didn't want to come off as defensive or anything. But I've already gone through the having a body next to me just for the hell of it, just so that I'm not lonely. Mm-mm. I live for someone I can grow with, learn from, enjoy, and fuck the shit out of. And have wonderful times where we develop together. More in a moment, folks.
You have new mail.
What they say on dates when it comes to deal breakers. I met a guy on Match and things went extremely well. We chatted and talked on the phone for 3 weeks before meeting for our date. We covered an array of topics, including sex, which was a bit uncomfortable for me. He asked me what kind of underwear and pajamas I wore. I thought the question was inappropriate and told him he might find out in due time. Well, he took me to Applebee's Saturday. Lord, he was drop-dead handsome like Pierce Brosnan. While we were continuing our conversation, he went there again about sex. He began to talk about what he dislikes about women. He talked about women who slept in the nude, shaved their private area, and didn't wear underwear were disgusting whores. That's when he fucked up. I guess I was a whore by his standards. I was described as a whore because all three applied to me. I went to the restroom and took off. That idiot. After seeing him, I was so ready to get my needs met. I just got off my period and had been celibate for 3 years since my divorce. His negative comments blew it. He texted to ask, what did he do wrong and why did I leave? He's an adult 34-year-old man. He should know better. It's okay to publish my rant in your show.
Yes, my dear, he blew it. He really did. And he didn't have to. Fellas, one thing I'm going to tell you. Always let the woman start on the conversation of sex. Usually when she's ready to go there, she may be ready to go there momentarily. A lot of you guys try to force it, try to initiate it. You're making a mistake. It's not worth it. Now, another thing you have to realize too with this. A lot of these women don't wear underwear, do sleep in the nude, may shave their pubic area. So what? Find out soon. Find out when she shows you. See, the problem is this, fellas. Some of you guys make comments that blow it for you because you don't know what side of the fence she's on. Whether it's politics, religion, you don't want to have an extremist, non-flexible view. She can ask for your opinion, let her know it's your opinion, and then go on and disclose it. Now, let me tell you, what happens when you have effective communication with the woman and she's considerate because she really likes you? She will ask you, how do you like a woman's haircut down there? The way it used to go, baby boomers, full on bush, we're talking weed eater. Gen X ladies, they'll trim an airstrip down there, trim it up a little bit. Gen Y ladies, they will cut down the bush a little bit, but still leave a little residual roughage. Gen Z, more likely they might be bald down there. It varies because see, there's been a progression in each generation. There were very few women that were shaving their vaginas back in the 70s, back in the 60s, 50s, 40s, 30s. If you look at most of the nude photos from the 1920s and 30s, yeah, they had a rug down there. And the reason why women, of course, were so acceptable when it comes to movies where they could be naked, the only thing that would be exposed is their breast because the pubic hair would cover the rest of the area. As long as she didn't sit down and prop up a leg or open her legs up, she was okay. But if a man, the first thing, they'd watch out for him getting hard. So that's the reason why you don't see so many men in movies that are nude. They might show his butt. They may show his dick soft a little bit. But of course, they don't want it to have the overtures of a porn movie. But ma'am, you did nothing wrong here. You did the right thing. He should figure it out. I see, fellas, a lot of you get ghosted this way. Because what these women will do, they won't necessarily tell you what's wrong. You know, it's like if you go to a courthouse to file some legal documents, and the clerk goes through the documents and she says, this is incorrect. She won't tell you what's wrong. She'll just tell you that's incorrect. Because she's not there to educate you or train you. She's there to process the document. Well, the same thing holds true when it comes down to men and women. That woman may not tell you what's wrong. She's going to let you do eeny, meeny, miny, mo. You figure it out. Now, you did the right thing by driving to the first date yourself so you could leave. Just think if you would have ridden with this guy, you would have heard more things that disgusted him. And you notice he called women who were like that a whore. And you took on that personally, even though you're probably not a whore. But just being put in that group without him knowing you, you had to stung a bit, hit close to home. Because how dare you put me in a category and you know nothing about me? You know, it was funny. I was dating this Caucasian lady. We went out for our first date one time years ago. And she says, so how many people in your family is locked up? Straight up asked me that question. I said, let me see here. Does the number zero apply? She was shocked. Well, I thought that you'd probably have at least one. And she had like 9 family members that had been locked up. And I said to myself, okay, that's incompatibility if ever I saw it. But here's what got me. This is what made the decision for me. Her phone rang. She had to go to the ladies' room. She came back. You know, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to end the date early on my end because I got a family matter to take care of. I said, okay. That's all she told me. She leaves. And I'm thinking, well, that was a horrible date. I guess I didn't make the mark. I didn't make the cut. She was a nice looking lady. And the waitress came over, asked me if I wanted anything else. I said, no. She said, well, where's your company? Where's your friend? I said, she left. Said she had a family emergency. And the first thing she said, oh, she ditched you. I said, you think so? She says, yeah. She said, more likely she did. So I took it at face value and I said, maybe she's right. Very nice hostess, and I tipped her well that night. I get a call the next day. She's in tears. I don't think we could go forward in our relationship. Okay, you probably found someone, a better candidate, I said, something to that effect. She said, no. I have to deal with a family issue. What was the family issue? My brother had a DUI and he had done some damage to a guardrail. And she was the go-to person in the family, the fix-it person. The one that had a good job, you know. That at times, things like these happen. And you don't really have any control over them. Ma'am, he said what he didn't like. It offended you, but I noticed one thing you didn't say. You didn't say anything in your message about how you were offended by him saying something like that, or even trying to be defensive. And that was a good move on your part. Fellas, women will let you hang yourself with your own words. They love doing that. Especially when you're in competition against other guys that they're looking at and they have to make a decision. Oh yeah. The wrong thing will always give you the wrong result. And sometimes we take risks when we don't have to. I had a friend of mine years ago. I remember when we first started hanging out, going to different clubs and stuff. He would ask these women for sex on the first date. Straight up asked them. And a few times he found a woman that was weak enough to sleep with. But the most part, most of the women said, hell no. And what he couldn't understand was, why were they saying no to him? Well, let me tell you where he got that bullshit from. His local barbershop, where the guys were talking. One of the guys had told him that the man has to initiate the conversation about sex. The people that were telling him that, they had been married for 20, 30 years. He was going to listen to them. And by the way, ma'am, if you're still listening, one of the problems with sometimes married people trying to give dating information and advice, many of them haven't been out on the circuit. I've been out over 30 some odd years. They had a snapshot of what dating was like. Many of them get back on the dating scene now, they're terrified. Things have changed so immensely. And it changes from decade to decade. Now we're using AI. People don't even have to write their own profiles anymore. They could just put a few words in and it processes. They could take their photo now, have it AI enhanced. Videos as well, even their voices. Where does it stop? And what you have to remember is, and the way I always judge this is, the more filters a person uses without an original photo of them, the more they dislike themselves as they are. That's the reason why they try to change it. They try to change up. They want to be better than what they are. I can do better than me. That's the mindset. Tamala asked the following, and she is out of Eureka, California. I have a question. When was that picture taken on your logo for your show? My dear, that picture was taken back in 1987. 86, 87. When I had long hair. And it was a pain in the ass to keep up. And I was glad to get rid of it. But I like that photo. Now, I should change it to where I look now. Who knows? Still might do that. But the other thing I will tell you, ma'am, before closing this out, is that, again, you may include in your standards or your repertoire that you're not going to talk about sex. Now, he made you feel uncomfortable over the phone and while you were chatting, before you even met him, then he went back to the same old thing. That was the second red flag. See, fellas, here's the thing. There are some women that will not give you a warning. They'll let you hang yourself first, then tell you to figure it out. But she left on the message that she felt as though it was inappropriate, right? By this guy's logic, he's calling a good percentage of the female population a whore, unjustifiably. And I'm willing to bet you, ma'am, that the woman he was with that left him, when she really realized how she had thrown her life away, she was probably the one that shaved her vagina, quit wearing underwear, and slept in the nude to get rid of his ass. You never know. You never know. More in a moment.
You have new mail.
I do give you permission to publish this message. Where do I start? My divorce was finalized Tuesday, ending 14 years of pain, suffering, and lies. However, this morning my 15-year-old daughter from my first marriage told me something that left me speechless. About 3 years ago, on my 43rd birthday, she caught my ex-husband and my bestie from high school in our bed. My daughter was scared to tell me because she didn't want to interfere. I never imagined the two of them together because I thought they hated each other. This also explains why my ex was so nice with my daughter, despite the 12 years prior of him suggesting I give her to her irresponsible father or my parents. In retrospect, I should have suspected something when my bestie and my ex planned my surprise birthday party. Josan, I agree with you about telling women to watch their friends. I took full responsibility for my choices in both my exes. You're so right about getting partners vetted better. I let both of these men in my life, just wanted to share.
I'm so sorry that happened to you, dear. But let's face a few things here. The first thing I would do if I were you, have a long talk with my daughter, if you haven't already. And let her know, reassure her that there is nothing that she can't tell you. She probably did not want to mess up your marriage. And who knows? Dad probably asked her to keep things quiet. Well, her stepdad, right? So, here's how I think things went. My mindset of the scenario. There's probably been some feelings there between the two of them. Your ex-husband and your former BFF, I'm assuming. And preparing for your birthday party was the best time for them to get a little nookie in. Daughter comes home, sees the deed being done, and now he's trying damage control by being as nice to your daughter as possible. And you knew that was a change right there, because he wasn't so nice with her for all those years. Wanted to get rid of her. Wanted just you and him only. Who knows, he might want to just not have her around because she may do just what she did, because he was probably cheating. As we know, that was a symptom of what was wrong with your relationship, but not the real gist of it. I'm sure there were other things that you didn't share with us, but that's fine. But here's the thing, my dear. You have now to look at a few things. You've been betrayed. So you know Next time when you choose a friend, she has to have some distance. Because you know you have trust issues now when it comes to friends, female friends. You'll see a lot of women, fellas, that don't trust females at all as their friends. They have a whole bunch of male friends. But some of them are naive about those male friends. Because they'll say, oh, he's my friend now. We just like sister and brother. Some of those guys are just waiting for her to get weak one time. That's all it would take, it's one time. And these guys know it. They're like, if I get one chance with her, I'ma fuck her so good until she wants to come back for more and more and more. Because they've already tried the emotional and the affection and the platonic route. None of that appealed to her. The platonic side did, but not the emotion, not the intimacy. So these guys know they gotta wait until she's downright horny and just wanna fuck. That's what 3 o'clock guys do. They wait just for that moment. Now, that's a hell of a way. And I want you to think about something else too. Your daughter probably also didn't want to ruin your birthday. She waited until 3 years to tell you this. And she probably didn't like him from day one. She might have been a little bit too young in order to notice she didn't like him, but as she grew older, I'm sure she did. You want somebody that accepts you and your child. You hear a lot of women say, fellas, that, oh, we come as a package. When you hear a woman say that, she's not saying it to be redundant. She's saying it because she's letting you know, if you're thinking about just having me separated from my kids, where I give them to my grandmother, my mother, or some other family member, you're fucking crazy. But some women will do this. For love, they think they're doing it. They're doing it for their desperation, the desperation of being with someone. You would forfeit your kids to be with someone. Kind of interesting. But I admire you, ma'am, for sticking by your values. Getting out, and now that you're out, you still have your desire to be with someone who you can love, but it's going to be a long time, probably before you can trust someone again. Cheating is not an easy thing to get over. Especially when you invest it a lot of time. But what you have to look at is this. You got to look at the caliber of man that you had. You can ask yourself, why was I with a man that didn't want me to have my daughter with me? You need to reassess that. Take a look at that. No need to be desperate. You have the advantage because there are more men out there looking for you than women looking for them. That's the way it goes. Now, another thing too. More than likely, your BFF and your ex-husband, they have a sexual affair for a while. Don't be surprised if he comes back and wants to reconcile. I know it sounds crazy. You know, it's like the kid that runs away from home. He's pissed off at his parents. And he's gonna run away from home. And what happens? He starts getting hungry. He starts getting sleepy. The hard ground is no comfort. An empty stomach is no bed. And say, oh, fuck it. You know, this happened about in the 90s. There were several guys that escaped from prison. Don't you know one of them went back because he was afraid he was going to miss lunch? They had already gotten outside of the prison. Something that you have to be mindful of, because you'll miss it when you take it for granted. Snotting and pleading to be back in your life. Willing to do anything to keep the marriage going. Or, well, to reestablish the marriage because you've already ended it. But you can't lose focus on the reason why you left. That's the key. Because when you've done that, yeah, you messed up. It leaves the door open for the same thing to happen again. And very few people want that. Very few people want a repeat of a bad situation. Now, let's look at some of the things that you benefit from with this. Your daughter will probably have more open communication with you. And this is what you guys can do to kind of bond and mend things together. Why don't you have your daughter help you put together a dating profile? Don't let her do it on her own. You guys do it together. And then have her more proactive in the selection process of your next partner, where you value her opinion. See, you were too young. Well, not only that, the child was too young back then. But now, she's old enough to make decisions, to see things, because kids see things from a different perspective than us. And they say the darndest things too. As I told you, when it comes down to an aircraft crash, who do they go for? They go for the children. Why do the investigators go for the children? Because they give them a graphic view of what happened. See, an adult will say something like, well, the plane flipped over, it did three spirals, and then it went down and hit the ground. The kids will say, it went up and it twirled down into the ground. The reason being is that we are a little bit more analytical, and being that we have more exposure, we have a broader context to choose things from, to describe things. They have a limited context, but they get the point because they're very direct. Now, the other thing too, kids see things in a way that, and sometimes they reveal too many things, but they see things in a way that becomes so truthful that it's scary. I went to Los Angeles one time to meet this lady. I pull up, ring the doorbell. That was at night. And where their apartment was, it sat right under a street light. So if anyone stood in the door, it would cast this elongated shadow. And this little bitty kid comes to the door. He had huge eyes. And he was sucking on one of those Sunny Delight juice boxes with the straw. And he's just looking up at me. Who you? I told him my name. I could hear his mother in the background. Honey, who is it? Mama, it's a man over here. He ain't the man that was over here last night that made you say, oh shit, kill it, daddy, kill it. She was embarrassed by that. The kid told the truth. And then she finally confessed later on after we talked that night. She was still seeing a baby daddy. Not his father, but another child that she had. And it was funny. And she's like, he's just like a news reporter. He tells everything. But that's what kids do. They're very good, very proficient at it. So, ma'am, enjoy your child. Never let a man come between you and your child. Now, fellas, let me tell you something. Some of you try to prove a point sometimes with a woman to try to make her your woman's equal when you're cheating with her. So you want to have her in your wife's bed or your girlfriend's bed where she feels like queen for a day. I'm the wife now because I'm in her bed. I'm on her sheets. And I got her man. And I have access to all her assets in this room. And some of you guys do this in order to impress the woman or to keep her. If she's leading you in that direction, she wants to be your wife. She wants to be your woman. Because most people who cheat, they find a place to cheat out of convenience. When she's specific about, no, your place, in her bed. It's a little obsessive. You know, it's funny, I watched a movie the other night, and this lady lived by herself. She was in her mid-40s, and there was a couple that lived next door to her. And both of them were like mid-40s as well. And she was out at her yard in the morning doing the gardening. And so they spoke to each other and they came over to her. And the lady was very cordial. Well, the guy's wife thought that the lady was flirting with him, but she wasn't. And she was so insecure, she was accusing him of, I saw you cutting your eyes at her, et cetera, et cetera. He said, I wasn't. Well, what eventually happened? The lady needed something done at her house. And she was going to call a maintenance person to come over and fix it. Well, the guy saw her trying to fix one of the light fixtures in her house. He said, oh, I can do that for you. I can take care of that. He goes over and he does it. Well, the wife sees him over there and she's upset. The woman goes, gets him a glass of lemonade, tells him she's going to break some chocolate chip cookies and she's going to bring him over to the house so the husband and wife can enjoy. So he did so. Well, the husband was an engineer and he had to go out of town for a business meeting. And he thought, well, you know, she'll have company, someone to look out for. What he didn't realize, the gist of the story was, the woman was always interested in a man's wife, not him. But what she wanted him to think was that she was in him. For that week, she gradually made moves on her and listened to her talk about how they had problems in their marriage. the affair he had, the alcohol abuse that she lived through and everything. And the woman finally kissed her. And at first she was ready to leave. And she sat back down. Because the woman told her what she was missing in her relationship. Well, she didn't want her husband to find out that she had slept with the first woman in her life. And the lady was like, "Don't worry about it. I won't say a word." And when the husband gets back, he's trying to get frisky with this woman a little bit, asking if she needs things done to her car or anything. And he's overly volunteering himself. And so there was one scene where she was in the garage going through some stuff. And he was standing there behind her looking at her. What he didn't realize more in a moment, folks.
You have new mail.
Jiaosan, this is Alex, and please take pleasure in sharing this because maybe others have this situation. As we've discussed before, I have a preference for African American women. The very same thing we discussed before happened again on my date tonight. Why is it that when I meet African American women, things go smoothly until they bring up their exes? I'm so tired of hearing them using the N-word and the negative vibes. I am going to raise my standards because this is annoying. I still hate hearing the disrespect. From now on, no more women without degrees. Hopefully, that will help.
Thank you, Alex. I remember a conversation about this. And I just, bit my tongue, that hurt. And the one thing that I will tell you is this. You have definitely put yourself on the right track. Raising your standards. Women do it all the time. Now, so this means you're looking for African American women with at least a bachelor's degree. Not bad, not bad. Being that you graduated from college, and so did I. Now, but I require that for most women. The only problem, let's face it, folks, I gotta be honest, and this shit's gonna hurt and it's gonna squeal. But a lot of educated women are not that attractive. Yeah, I said it. But it's true. Because some of them realize that, hey, I know I'm no beauty queen. I know I'm not going to turn any heads. So let me go on and take my little ass on now and work my ass off so I can take care of myself because no man is going to take care of me. Some of them have that mindset. You have others that say, oh, I'm not worried about it. I'll find some guy to take care of me as I stumble through life. As long as I still stay attractive and with a nice shape. Alex, we had this discussion before, twice before I believe. Here is some of the things you're messing up on. You're pulling women from the same pool. This is what a lot of single moms complain about when they write the show. They get the same type of guy in the same neighborhood, same mentality. Yeah, and they like certain characteristics associated with the guy. But no matter what, the relationship never develops and never works. I wonder why. Maybe it's because there's some fundamental characteristic associated with these folks that have some of the same parallel behaviors. or situations associated with them that are just not good for you. Now, as far as the N-word situation, we talked about this before. We're the only racial group in America that takes a negative term and apply it to each other. Nobody else does that. Because it's not funny. It's not humorous. It's disrespectful. And the way society looks at it, if you can't respect yourself, why the fuck should we respect you? Hate to tell you that, but that's where it is. That's what many of them think. And the sad thing about it, we sit there, call our women bitches and hoes. I want you to think about what we have sacrificed as a community. We bitched and hoed our community and inward our community. Rap lyrics, gangster rap, we went through all that shit. And it's not even on the top charts now anymore compared to Bad Bunny and those other groups. A lot of Latino music is taking over. Now, the other thing we have to realize is this. We're comfortable with disrespecting each other. So, Alex, you're going to heal frustrated women who feel as though they have kind of like a status jump with you because you're Caucasian. And so they may be under the impression that, okay, I'm going to think like she would think you would think, which you don't think that way, but many of them don't know that. So they go on and use that. I'm just only talking about the women you've experienced. I'm not talking about, you know, Pan-Africa. I'm not talking about all black women or anything like that. You're going to meet an intelligent, beautiful African-American woman, black woman, I prefer, as opposed to saying African-American. I think that's so politically fucked up. Because how can you be that? A continental American. I just don't get it. We've gone through so many identity changes. But here's the thing that we have to look at as well. We have to look at the fact that we don't appreciate each other, and others see that we don't appreciate each other. Why should they appreciate us? Why do you think the perpetual stereotype of us is so pervasive? It's because some of us act like what they think of us and what they call us, while others try to fight the battle of not being like that. Just gonna hang in there, Alex. Start dating women in different areas. That's what I learned. And I get this question a lot. And that is about why are you always talking about dating this kind of woman or that kind? I'm trying to be happy. I don't give a fuck what race she is. My happiness is more important than some quota. It's happier. It's more important than anybody else's opinion or agenda. I'm not going to go through this life trying to appease everyone else but myself. That's the way it is. I look at myself as being a company, and guess what? I'm the number one customer. Because if you don't, everybody else is going to have a hand in your life. And before you know it, you haven't even lived your life. You live someone else's dream, someone else's wish. You know, it was kind of sad during COVID. I was looking on the news. There was one restaurant where the guy didn't have enough money to pay his employees. And the employees were quitting. And the sad thing about it was the guy was crying, asking them to stay. And he said, "What about my dream?" The restaurant was his dream. Well, the reality of the people that worked for him was that they weren't getting paid. And they could no longer sustain his dream. They weren't going to suffer in their lives to appease him. And that's the way it goes in life in general. But some of us, we get too involved in things that we probably don't need to be so close to, but we do. But my main thing is here, Alex, you know now what the symptoms are and what the problem is. Easy to resolve. As soon as a woman calls me the N-word, talking about, yeah, you N-words are just like, I'm done with her. Especially when I get every other race of woman not to call me that, even black women not to call me that, and I'm dealing with that that's calling me that, please. I'm gonna have to take that shit. But you're offended by the disrespect the women project towards black men. I get it. But we get that shit all the time. And these women are frustrated. They've been lied to. They've been bamboozled. They've been used. Some of them have made bad choices in life. And they got stuck with bad decisions. Boy, that's a hell of a thing. In fact, tomorrow, we're going to look at a phenomenon called partner envy. And believe it or not, that's very prevalent in the dating world and relationship world. You're with a partner, but you actually resent them. You see, one thing also, Alex, with this, with these women that you're getting, some people may look at you as a culture vulture. You're going in for these women because they're black. That's all some people see. They may not understand all of the appreciations you have, the love and all the rest of that. You may not get that. Because we're very visual as humans in general. And so, when we don't like something, it's bad. Why is it bad? Because somebody said it was bad. Not necessarily because we've experienced it. They just go by what they say. But you also got to go by your experiences. So if I went with my experiences as far as who I've had better luck with when it comes to women, it's been white European women, women from the Philippines, Malaysia, Vietnam and Latin American women. As far as black women, not too many of them ever liked me. And there were a select few that has. But here's the thing. The majority of those women that liked me, they were cool people. Even the women from Africa, cool people. But here in the United States, what it came down to for a lot of them, they wanted gold chains around your neck. They wanted you in exotic cars. They wanted you like the damn videos. I ain't got no time for that bullshit. And unfortunately, a lot of women get stuck there and they don't grow out of that shit. They go from their teens to their 60s with the same mindset. And it doesn't stop. Doesn't stop. Maybe one day, people will wake up and say, you know what? Tired of this disrespect shit. Let's start respecting each other. Let's start treating each other better. And then, Alex, you wouldn't have to leave messages like this complaining. But I just thought that I had to address these today. In all fairness, Alex and all the rest of you that have written in and left messages, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Keep doing so. And I think tomorrow we're going to take a look at partner jealousy and envy. Oh, there are a lot of people that are like that. Because they want you to be successful under their terms and under their power and influence. Take care, folks. Love you all. We'll talk to you on tomorrow.
We at Romantic Truth appreciate your listenership.
Listeners, you're invited to stream and listen to Jawsen's music on Apple Music, Amazon Music, Spotify, AudioMac, or Deezer. Type in Jawsen in the search for artists to follow and like modern instrumental music from his discography.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those solely of the host and are not condoned or endorsed by Romantic Truth, Anchor, or any of its affiliates.
The advice given herein is the expressed opinion of the host and not to be used for legal, marital, or family, counseling, or for professional practice purposes. In the event for professional assistance, please contact the local licensed professional family counselor, marriage counselor, or social services professional in your region.
If you need someone to talk to in regards to help, you may contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255, available 24 hours. All correspondences read on the show have been pre-screened and pre-approved by the submitter to be aired on the show.
Be advised that all of the background music of production not provided by Anchor is owned by James Adams and Jawsen One Music, exclusively licensed for this Romantic Truth podcast under waiver.
Please understand that there were no people or animals hurt in the segments of this show, including plants. All sound effects were improvised in the studio setting with props. We are an equal opportunity employer with two Yorkie poodles and a rat terrier as the security detail.
Please be advised that the content of this podcast is under copyright by Romantic Truth and James Adams.